me having Dick here. He's our handler and he holds my equipment. Susan, at the banquet, you said you were going out for number one. What's your special strategy in that? Are you going to go out full blast ahead like Cowboy, or are you going to sort of stay with the front and then pull out in front like near the end there like Rick does, or what's your strategy for reaching that goal?
Well, I'm going to be right up in the front, but it kind of depends. My draws got me an hour behind Cowboy and Rick and stuff like that. It may be tough to make that hour up if they're going as hard as they can. I may be an hour behind them for a little while, but I'll make it up at one time or another, if not just at my 24. So I'll just be right up there in the front, and I'm going to be pushing pretty hard. And whether I'm leading the way or just within a couple hours of the front, it doesn't matter to me until Unalakleet.
What do you think about the trail conditions? Do you think that they favor any particular musher, and if so, who?
No, I don't think they favor anybody. That's fine for my dogs, though. I mean, it's lousy conditions, but they're used to lousy conditions, so I don't really think it's favoring anybody. As long as the musher has their dog team in control, they're in pretty good shape right now.
How are you going to start the race? Are you going to start with two sleds or start with just the handler inside?
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, this is a question I guess I've asked a couple of people. I was wondering what you thought of Cowboy's strategy there about going out full straight ahead. There were a few. I know that Joe was telling me he didn't think that Cowboy would be able to maintain that with that type of strategy. What do you think of that strategy? Going out straight ahead, trying to stay out in front of everybody. Think he can maintain it, especially if he's thinking of going for a 10-day race?
It doesn't concern me much. He might be able to maintain it, and he might not. He didn't last year, and this is a different year, and that's the way he likes to run his race. It's not the I'm not going to run out and be way out in front of everybody the whole way. That's not the way I want to run the race, but that's his concern. I really couldn't tell you. He knows his dogs. It's everybody's got a different way that they trained and everything, and so it's not how I'd run it, but it's good for the way he likes to do it. He wouldn't be happy any other way.
Do you anticipate any, is there anything along the trail that you've heard about that concerns you at all or anything? Trail conditions, like out on the coast maybe being a bit bare?
No. No, as long as we all have to go over the same trail, I don't care what the conditions are.
How about your food this year? Have you made any changes in that, or have you just been slowly making minor adjustments to your feeding patterns?
Oh, maybe amounts. I've got pretty much the same stuff out there, but maybe a little bit more of this and a little less of that. It would be the only difference. It's pretty much the same as what I've always done. Beef, lamb, beaver. Just anything that the dogs like and can utilize.
If you've got liver out there in case it gets cold then?
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of liver and lard, and I've got about 10 different things out there.
What kind of training do you run on? Like, I've noticed that I've seen people out there that seem to go on like 4-on-1-off or 3-on-1-off or something. Do you have a special time like that that you go with, or do you just look at how the dogs are doing?
I'm going by how the dogs are doing, but I don't usually push them more than about 4 hours at a stretch unless I'm particularly trying to go the last 5 miles into a checkpoint and I've passed the 4-mile mark. But other than that, no, I'll just go by what the dogs are doing.
There's been lots of question earlier when the Iditarod began. They've been talking about colder temperatures are good for the dogs. And recently I've talked to a few people who seem to think that the warmer temperatures, the dogs can actually, they may not go as fast, but they actually have more tenacity and endurance. What do you think about temperatures? What's your ideal conditions for mushing?
Well, zero is about the best, I guess. Anywhere from 10 above to 10 below is pretty nice. But again, as long as we're all going through the same thing, I don't care.
So your goal is what?
To win the race.
Good luck, Sue. We'll see you at the...
Are you going to be out on the trail doing
I'm
this?
Not
Who
this
are
year.
You doing it for?
I work for Alaska Public Radio Network. We're tied in with KNOM and all the statewide public radio stations. But
right.
Someone else is going out. Her name's Karen McPherson. I'm not sure where she's at, but I'll be in Nome.
Good.
I'll see you at the finish line.
Good.
Now let's see. Oh my God! That was my heavy tape recorder. All right, now what should I ask here?
You going to know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Ernie. Let's see here. 51.
I get better with my drawing. The first year I ran, I got 14. Then it was 19. Then it was 24. Then it was 48. Now it's 51. A couple more years, and I'll be in the back.
Does it really make that much difference, though? I mean, don't you sort of make up the time usually at least between here and McGrath, or if nothing else, on your 24?
Sure, you make up time, but just like Bethel, I drew 33 and had to pass 32 teams before the first checkpoint, and that tires dogs out.
What about your special strategy for this year? Anything special?
Yeah, I'd like to get to know them before anybody else.
What have you been training the dogs? How, first in the season, did you start with short runs or long runs and build them up gradually, or what?
Well, usually I start with the puppies. I say puppies, you know, year and a half, 2 years old. Start training them pretty hard a couple of weeks. And then I start bringing in the old dogs after that, the ones that have been on the race before. And yeah, you know, dogs just like people, they can't go very far in the beginning of the year. I start out, and if I can get them to run a half a mile, you know, without dropping down, I'm pretty happy. So it takes a while to even get them up 10 miles.
You've run this race how many times, Ernie?
Well, this is the fifth year.
Fifth year, okay. Five times. How has the Iditarod changed in the years that you've been in it? It's obviously changed quite a bit, but how would you estimate how it's changed?
Well, in some ways it changed for the good, in some ways changed for the bad. I think the competition is getting stiffer, but it's also getting a lot more commercial now. One of the things I don't like about the way they're doing the race is that they got too many hurdles and stumbling blocks in here, too many mandatory things to get to do before you get to the starting line, and a lot of it is a handicap. Like this year at the Mustard meeting, they were talking about anything you leave behind, you can't use again in a race. And I've always in the past never had enough money to buy sleds and ship them out ahead, so I'll use a sled from the starting line to connect, and then have it reshoed with maybe P-TEX sent up the Uniloclete for me. But according to the way they set the rules now, I leave the sled behind, I can't use it. But if I had a lot of money, I could ship sleds out all over the place. So it's, you know, some of it is changed, and it hasn't really helped us.
Especially for the guy that doesn't have the big buck sponsor, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Money is always an advantage. Now, in this, the big equalizer is the dogs, but still, it gets pretty hard. I remember one time I was running against somebody, and we stopped at Nolato. And I heard him going on the phone, called the sponsor, says, "Hey, ship me on a sled up here. I need a new one." And at the next checkpoint. And that's kind of helped. It's nice to have, and I don't hold back on anybody that does that. I think it's great, but it does make a little difference sometimes.
You still came in third, though, in 1980, and I shouldn't say still. I mean, in spite of the fact that you didn't have the big buck sponsor, you still came in third. So it is possible, isn't it, to still place well without the real money coming in from a sponsor?
Oh, sure. Some guys, I think, have won it that have been operating on a shoestring. But that's it. You're running on a shoestring, and sometimes it breaks.
That's a good comment, Ernie.
Too many of us. I don't want to get out of here.
I'm going to be doing a story on how the Iditarod has changed throughout the years. Now, how many times have you run the race, Emmett?
Well, this is my eighth year.
That's in a lot of years. How do you think the Iditarod's changed? I mean, gosh, 8 years. What did you? When was your first time? 70? Oh, the year you won it, 75. That was it. You were a rookie. How has the race changed since then?
Well, I think that people are getting better with dogs. You know, the manhandling the team better, and the feeding is improving quite tremendously, and the training is, you know, they really put a lot of miles on the dogs since 75, the year I won. You know, and the press is right at everybody, you know, make sure where you're at and get better coverage. You know? So all that means to me, you know, this seems to kind of change the route every so often, you know. Like last year, we went from Henvik going over straight over to Uniclick. It kind of disgusting sometimes, but that's the way the committee wants it, and I think we'll run it that way.
All right, now for this race, everybody's got different strategy. You know, Swenson seems to just sort of hold back and make his move near the end, and Cowboy Smith does the exact opposite, just goes for it from the beginning. You said you were out to win this race. What's your strategy? What's your secret?
Well, I know Swenson's up there with number six or something like that. We just got to keep him ahead of us, and I'm going to watch him, you know. He's my main guy I want to watch. You call me the fox. He's the silver fox, you know. He seems to know everything, too.
What about a guy like Joe May? I mean, he's got a whole different strategy, and he's a little, I think he's a guy to watch, too. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, you can't count the champions out, you know. They didn't get there because of the champ. They got there because they know the trail and the dog business of driving them. Well, you know, you got to watch them, too. Yeah.
Emmett, how does, what's it like living in a place like Ruby? Do you see some advantages and disadvantages to living, let's say, out in a village as opposed to living in a place like, well, I know when Ron moved from Unalakleet up to Fairbanks, the difference in the trails and the availability of vets and food and all that really seemed to be nice. How do you assess the living out in the village as opposed to, you know, in terms of competition and being competitive?
Well, you know, living in the bush has a lot of advantage of Musher. He, you know, got more time with his dogs and his pups, you know. I raise my pups, I raise them free to run around all summer and, nobody around to complain about them. And it's good for them to kind of don't get so wild and timid, you know. And they toughen up their feet. Well, of course, we have a hard time with the veterinarian and stuff like that, but we get a better training, that's for sure. The trail conditions are just beautiful up there.
Do you think there's any advantage, this type of trail right now, to any special musher has an advantage? You think it's a Joe May trail or a Rick Swenson trail, Cowboy Smith trail?
Well, the way it looks to me now, it's everybody's trail, you know. It's the people with the heavier dogs and, heavier set dogs got just as good a chance as the younger dogs, but the younger dogs are going to hold out at a faster pace. You know.
How about the rookies? Do you think there's any chance at all that a rookie could win this race like yourself? I mean, it hasn't been done since 1975, and as you say, the trail has really changed a lot. Not the trail, but the competition has really improved. Do you think that a rookie even has a chance at it?
Well, he's got to be a very good rookie, you know, something that's very, you know, we never kept an eye on local races, speed races, or some other races, that he's proven himself. Now, this is a Diderot race. You got to prove yourself before you be a winner, you know, in the Diderot, because I was the last one to do it, you know, as a rookie. So, you know, you got to prove yourself in order to prove that you can be a winner as a rookie.
Thanks, everybody.
I know you very well, but what which station?
I used to work with KNOM in Nome.
Oh, that's where.
Now
right,
I live
right.
Up in Fairbanks. Colonel, how many times have you run this race?
This will be my fifth.
Five times. How has the race changed in those years?
Oh,
quite a lot.
It's tremendously different. This is a much more professional race. The volunteers on the course are very much more knowledgeable, and they take care of us more swiftly when we get into the stations. Excuse me, we have better vet protection for our dogs, and this year we have a real doctor. When I say real doctor, the vets are real doctors, but one for the people, one for the mushers. And that gives us a great deal of confidence should we have a cold or something like that. So all in all, the race has changed in that complexion. But the most important part of the race change is the fact that the dogs are really better health, they're better trained, they're fitter, and they come through lots better.
I'd like to talk to you about that. Are you by any chance running the All-Alaska Sweepstakes race next year?
Well, you can't tell. I
like that look in your eye. It's like, well, I really think I'd like to.
Oh, I know. I can tell you right now I'd like to. But
back in those days, you ran dogs with the expedition to the North Pole, was it?
Oh,
or the Antarctic?
No,
that was
the Antarctic.
The North Pole. They say that, I don't know, I was talking with Joe Arrington Sr. He was saying that he thinks there's a real chance that they can break, like, Iron Man Johnson's record because the dogs are better. What do you think?
Oh, the dogs are better. They're faster. I think they're better fed. I think they're better cared for. Even though those men were wonderful drivers, but they know so much more than they did then. For instance, Dr. Lombard was the one that started us having our dogs drink water. He started it. Other few people did it, but he made it popular because he explained why. And before that, dog drivers were letting them eat snow. Now, for a trapping team, that's perfectly all right. They don't have to water them for a trapping team because the dogs aren't exhausted at any moment. They run hard, but they go for a half mile or a quarter mile or maybe only 100 yards, and they stop for another trap. So they have a chance to get snow, and they don't have a chance to get as heated.
Tell us about your expeditions to the Antarctic. I mean, is that what...